whip up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and at it, Greg. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
By Monday, you could be first place in the division.
Yep.
Take care of business.
Let me hear it. Praise to Brezbot.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that math make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Who's your favorite co-host?
Wiggy.
I like
we're
them
all different.
I kind of like them all equally.
Of the three choices he had, I would not pick Wiggy. I put it out there right now.
I heard.
That was your favorite teammate, though. Come
well, yeah, he was fun.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief. And arson have become this kind of tandem. Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
There's a 56-year-old man who's using Bobby AI as his best friend and confiding in this robot to help him commit murder.
It's terrifying.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Don't put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis. And Shime.
Well, he got 188 million reasons to like cheese now.
Cheddar, sharp, Limburger, blue cheese, all I mean, all that.
Now.
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbors.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Got my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Show. All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What up? What up? Well, I only care about one thing this morning, and that is the current state of the most important back in September baseball history. Is there an update, Curtis, on the back, the oblique of Roman Anthony? Please tell me the news is good this morning.
Rome wasn't built in a day, but it was destroyed in one. It does not sound good. Post-game said he was far more painful than the prior injury he sustained. The oblique is a pesky one, especially if you have to swing a baseball bat. So
he will undergo an MRI today.
No. I hate the MRI.
Yeah.
No. All right. Well, I mean,
it's not a good sign.
Nothing we can do about it.
Nope.
Probably some disappointed ladies in the seaport or other areas of the city of Boston with the back being down, but whatever.
I think you should offer up your services if he needs help carrying groceries to his apartment, anything else.
I could do that. I have experienced several different issues when it comes to the back. I have, you remember, it wasn't so long ago. I was limping around here like an injured old man.
Yeah.
I thought you had pooped your pants the way you were walking.
He's got to get more core work in.
He does.
Strengthen that core up.
And if you've had an oblique injury at any stage of your life, 617-779-7927.
Do not. Please do not. I beg you, please do not call with any kind of injury experience. Not what we want on this radio
program. I got that played pickleball.
Yep.
We have got a lot to get to, though, this morning. And that includes New England Patriots, who will practice today in advance of the home opener, and felt like a great Patriots Monday on a Tuesday yesterday, and some interesting information from Mike Vrabel yesterday on this radio show, and from Boomer Esiason, and even maybe from Ty Law. So the interesting thing about Mike Vrabel on the show yesterday, and upon reflection for me last night, Curtis, was the discussion about Micah Parsons and about the difference, it appears, in the way in which the two people who could possibly be in charge of the organization are publicly sharing what the intention of the organization is. So And we talked about it briefly yesterday, but Elliot Wolf, not more than 2 weeks ago, was out there in front of everybody talking about how he would love to trade a first round pick or whatever it takes to go get a player like Micah Parsons. And then Mike Vrabel yesterday is like, no, that's not the strategy, the intent. Yeah. That is nothing that the organization is going to do at any point. So there appears to be a little bit of a divide over there.
Well, we call that in the sports world as being on two different pages.
Yeah.
You know, the philosophy of, you know, Vrabel and him saying, you know, we want to build through the draft. The draft, you know, he obviously spoke about what the draft has looked like the past few years here. And it hasn't been very good. And then you got Elliot Wolf saying, you know, we got no problem moving on from a first or a second round pick. So, yeah, that's not being on the same page. And that's going to be interesting moving forward. But I told you at the end of the day, it really is going to be Elliot Wolf. He is the guy who's taking all the slings and arrows right now. He's going to be the fall guy. And
that's really the only reason he's still here.
Yeah.
Like, because he's not, does anybody believe he will be a part of the group that does the drafting for the Patriots next May?
No, I don't think so.
No.
And you're not signing people of note right now. Free agency is not until March of 26.
Nope.
So he's literally just here so he can remind people that he was the guy behind a draft that has one player left from last year.
Well, yes. And he gets to bring Efton Chisholm into his office and tell him that he made the football team. And then they get to share that video with everybody.
Right. What do you nice. Think the Those second videos
choice,
are nice.
What do you think the second choice of Efton's parents were?
It's got to be a family name.
Yeah.
I did. Unfortunately, I did that to Brees. Like,
Brees is a cool name, though.
You think so?
Yeah.
There's a debate. Curtis, you could weigh in as a new parent. There's a debate about whether giving your kid a unique name is a good thing or a bad thing. Because
it's a bad thing because they're going to get made fun of.
Yeah, but some people think that makes them tough, Wiggy.
Today's society, we don't allow bullying. What do you mean? That don't make them tough. That's always a bad thing is because people are going to pick on you because of your name.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of nice that I think that you have a name that's not a common name that everybody has.
Right.
I think Brees is perfect for it because he's a really confident guy who appears to be unmoved by what people would say. I think given my mental health issues that had I gone with Efton Curtis, it may have been a bad end for James.
And so, Brees is really not that bad.
No.
Like I bet in high school he's, you know, kids are not clowning on him for Brees. That's not. Efton, though, is a little
probably,
bit different.
I don't know if he got. I don't know if he got clowned on for it, but I probably not in high school. I would imagine it would have been in grade school or something if he did. But I don't think I doubt he's ever encountered another Brees.
Was it Jen's maiden name? Is that why?
No, it was my mother's maiden name.
Right.
So my mom's maiden name.
I like the name.
Yeah. Brees isn't bad.
Honestly, what really happened is when Jen was pregnant, we were very friendly with another couple, and they were pregnant at the same time. And we randomly mentioned the name that we were thinking of, and suddenly, like 2 weeks later, they announced that they were giving that name to their child.
No. Oh, rookie move.
Yes, they stole the name.
It's like a
Can
George.
Can you tell us what the name was?
Seven. It's like a George Costanza Seven.
It wasn't Apple or Seven. It was.
But it wasn't like a James where they could have
been. No, it was like, it was two names.
Seafood Tower.
It wasn't Seafood Tower. I wasn't into the Seafood Towers at that point. You're talking 25 years ago, Wayne.
All right.
So,
I don't think I could go too far down this road, but speaking from personal experience, some people go absolutely bat bleep crazy if they think you're taking a name in families.
Ooh. Really?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. There is people that are in families that I am part of that have not spoken over that.
Huh. Yeah, I think it's a
crazy.
Big thing.
Yeah, you shouldn't steal no names.
I think it's a big thing.
But if the name's Emily, like, what are you going to do?
It's well, Emily,
like
yes.
Yeah, like,
Emily.
Where do you draw the line, too? Is it just family, or if your friends have a name that you like, can you use that name as well? It's hard. It's hard.
Why are you asking somebody else for names?
No, no, no. If your best friend has a child,
yep.
And you're like, damn, they used one of my favorite names. They didn't steal it from you. They just used the same one. Then do you have to delete that name off your list?
Yeah, you can't. If you're really good friends, you can't have the same.
A kid named the exact same name as your best friend.
We have friends whose parents were best friends in college. That's how they know each other.
Right.
They were both pregnant at the same time. Both moms were pregnant at the same time. They said, we are not, they both knew they were having boys. We are not sharing the name.
Were they in your parents' wife swapping club?
No. On Santo's side that I've now become very good friends with. Both moms gave birth. Introducing. Both named the boys Charlie.
Without communicating
Correct.
About it?
That's different. Yeah. That's just a roll of the dice.
But they're best friends, so it's just. It's
a roll of the term dice. Is pregnant people, not moms, please.
BMs. And I believe it's baby mama nowadays.
Well, listen, if everything heals up properly when it comes to the oblique, and the Red Sox go as far as we hope they can go, there may be an awful lot of Romans which are born in the next 9 to 10 months.
Or maybe obliques.
I am open. Okay.
Oblique Curtis.
All right. Well,
oblique would have worked for Shime considering his golf game. The nickname would be OB.
Yeah.
So disappointing. I went on my old man walk last night, and the sun was going down, and it was 5:58, not even 6 o'clock last night, Curtis.
Yeah.
Very disappointing, but it's nice out there today.
Yeah, I know it bothers people when I talk about them, but selfishly, the earlier sunset is earlier to bed for the little guys.
So yeah.
I take it with that. But yes, this week is gorgeous, but it feels a little too soon to be this brisk in the morning.
At like 4 p.m., though, I did a walk at 4 p.m. yesterday, and it was a perfect temp. Like, it could not have been better. It was beautiful.
Well, because you love fall.
Right.
Like, fall is your season.
Yeah, but
if I remember correctly.
Correct, right. Yeah.
It's also, I think you paid somebody $400 to tell you that autumn was your color.
Correct.
Or what your autumn colors were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
You're not cool autumn. You haven't deployed them yet, though. I see you in a, aren't you like a, what was your color?
A cool
green.
Autumn.
Thought it was a green.
Cool autumn.
Cool autumn.
This is like a cool autumn. This blue.
Cool autumn is the name of a color now.
Yeah.
I thought you said it was a green color.
No. Cool autumn is the season that I am.
If the person who did her color was just going to tell her that she was autumn colors, she could have only charged $200.
Okay.
So when she created cool autumn, she was able to charge her double $400. Right. That's how that works.
Shanice making a killing. Let me tell you.
I believe it.
Lives in Greg's building.
Okay.
She's doing quite okay.
Can she tell me what my color is?
Yeah, she sure can.
Yeah, your color is basically...
Light brown?
It's black hoodie. That's black. No, logoed hoodie.
How much should that cost?
I don't remember. But she tells you everything. She'll tell you makeup. She'll tell you jewelry, like if you're a silver or gold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And how does she know that?
Because you're undertones of your skin.
She says, I feel a real connection to you.
That cost you $1,000. I'll see you next week.
No, it wasn't $1,000.
It had to be over $500.
No, it wasn't. It was under.
Okay.
All right. Well, we got a lot to get to on the show this morning, including our leads in about 10 minutes. And then they said it at 7:20 this morning. And we will certainly discuss what Sean McDingbat said about the Chiefs' chances to get back to the Super Bowl.
Mm.
Good thing to taunt the Kansas City Chiefs preseason.
Right.
So we'll get to that and the rest of They Said It. Coming up at 7:20 today. News with Courtney at 7:45. And that includes Florida Not Like the Rest of Us and what went wrong when a woman who decided she wanted to sell her used shoes encountered a Florida man who wanted to buy them. So that and the rest of the news coming up later. And my daily reminder that you can leave us a voice note on any topic at any time during the show this morning on the Odyssey app, and we will play the very best ones back at about 9:20 or 9:30 this morning during Hill Notes. So leave us a Hill Note now, and we will play the best ones back later. And here is Courtney to start us off with what is trending this morning.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox had a wild one last night, beating the Guardians 11-7 with two outs in the eighth. An infield single from Alex Bregman broke the tie. Jarren Duran and Trevor Story followed that up with RBI doubles off Cade Smith for the guys' second four-run inning of the game. Justin Slayton earned the win with a perfect eighth inning. Now, Garrett Crochet went six innings in his start, giving up seven runs on nine hits while striking out only four.
I saw Lou posting about this last night, and I always listen to Lou when it comes to baseball because he's a baseball guy. But he was talking about outings of late Curtis, not only from Crochet, but also from Giolito and Bayo on 4 days rest, and how the new norm maybe ought to be 5 days.
Ooh.
Which, I mean, I don't know with this rotation if you can afford it. But,
well, this is why, and you can go back and pull the tape on the day after the trade deadline. I said we weren't going to know the full mistake until we reached September, when Crochet's innings were going to be coming an issue, and you had these guys that hadn't pitched a full season in many years.
Yeah.
And the guy they brought in, May, went, what, three innings over the weekend? I mean, this is where having a Joe Ryan would be paying massive dividends. I think you would be two games up in the division right now.
Well, that score brought to you by the Mass State Lottery. Let's make it the best night ever. Grab your friends, pick your numbers, and celebrate the night with Keno and the Mass State Lottery. You must be 18 years or older to play. Now, Roman Anthony exited the game in the bottom of the fourth with a left oblique injury. He will undergo an MRI today. The Sox have another with the Guardians tonight. First pitch at 6:35. We've got Brennan Bernardino on the mound. Shaw McDonough joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network.
Shaw's the best Sean McDonough. I love hearing him on baseball games on this radio station.
When you started saying Sean McDingback, I was like, what is he talking about? Yeah, but then, I realized.
There's a McDermott and there's a McDonough.
Yeah, we never say anything bad about our McDonough.
I was listening to him last night. Sorry about that.
The microphone sometimes gets shut off.
I forgot. I had a cough. I had a tickle.
Yeah.
Which is good.
All good.
Shaw's Go Shop and Get Rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcand at 5:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. Now, the Patriots hosted seven
Who's
free agents.
Who's tickling you?
I would say that would be this kid I went to school with named Gatorade.
The Pats hosted seven.
Is the throat a little parched this morning?
A little parched. I told you, I sleep with my mouth open, so I ran out.
You got to stop doing that. It's not good for you.
Yeah, but it's not like in the middle of the night I know I'm doing it.
That's why you got to do mouth tape.
I do the mouth tape, but I ran out of it. I do the, what's the popular one?
Skinny Confidential?
No, the black tape that everybody uses. I forget the name of it.
Could either be that or the Wake and Bake.
Or the
Raisin Blaze, as we used to call it back in the day.
That definitely gives me dry mouth, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure, it definitely, I'm especially sure at nighttime.
Yeah.
So, but no, I have the mouth tape, but I ran out of it. I got to order some new.
I do appreciate and respect you because you, however you consume your weeds, it doesn't smell. Like, you do not smell like marijuana ever. You smell good always.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's why I say that's because it's all oils, man. I don't do pre-rolls as much or blunts rolling it up because then you get the heavy, heavy stink. But when you do like the vape and the oil, you get like a, you know, you don't really smell it. It's like when people...
He actually found a way to have them injected through the hot tub spout or whatever one calls it.
Right up the keister.
Oh! Save that. Yesterday was one of the great moments of my life when Ty Law asked if I smoked pot. That was... Never thought that would ever happen. So,
better than liquor, I'll tell you that.
I don't judge you, bud.
No?
Okay, so the Patriots, they hosted seven free agents at Gillette yesterday. The Pats worked out wide receivers Andrew Armstrong and Jacoby Keeney-James, as well as defensive backs Tyron Herring, Donico Slaughter, Major Williams, Trey Dean, and Malik Dixon Williams. The team is getting ready, of course, for week one against the Raiders on Sunday. Kickoff is at 1 p.m. I was very stressed about doing all those names, but I think I nailed it. Back at work, school, it's all happening. Real life routine shouldn't be a bad word. How about winning rhythm? Losing weight every week with Awaken 180 and looking forward to each day in every way. And fast results at awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we've got our leads.
The hopes and dreams of an entire region hang on the oblique of Roman Anthony. And maybe he'll wake up this morning and he'll be fine. Although that never happens with the back. I can speak from personal experience. No. But there's a little bit of difference in age between Roman Anthony and I. So he can bounce. Maybe he can bounce back quicker than I can. But well, he will get an MRI today. And listen, this team has overcome a lot this season.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they have to do without Roman Anthony for a little bit of time, then I'm sure they will find a way to get that done. This is Dixon from Worcester. Hello, Dixon. What's up?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Greg. Good morning, guys.
What's going on?
Good morning.
What's up?
Good morning.
Wiggy.
What up?
Wiggy, good morning, man. What's going on? So I'm letting y'all know, man. You know, we're joking about the name of Oblique, and if you name your kid Oblique, you know, I mean, he may be on the verge of notoriety. Mm-hmm. There's currently a Jamaican sprinter named Oblique Seville, and he actually beat Noah Lyles the past couple of times in 100 meters. Mm-hmm. And you know, Noah Lyles is the Olympic champion, mm-hmm. so he beat Noah Lyles the last time they raced. So if you do name your kid Oblique, he may be on the verge of notoriety.
Okay.
I like it.
So think about it. And then, Wiggy,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? I'm going to have to help you with your Jamaican accent, man. So,
Aguan,
man. Man. I'll help you with that Jamaican accent.
All right. I'm working on my patois. Man, I work on it real good, man.
Okay.
See if I can get the lingo down.
I knew that was coming, unfortunately.
I'm going to light one up on there. My boy Oblique. Fastest man on the island. Me seen him run barefoot one time up a mountain.
Have you ever been to Jamaica?
Yes, I love Jamaica. Jamaican beef patty? Love Jamaica. If I could go anywhere, Jamaica would be the place.
Did you see the bobsled team?
No, I never saw the Jamaican bobsled
team. Did you go to the all-nude place?
What's the all-nude place?
There's like a swingers resort down there.
No, I've been to a nude beach.
We did 3 days of a WAAF show down there. What's that place called?
I think it's called Scandals Jamaica.
You're thinking of
Hedonism.
Yes.
We did 3 days of shows down there.
Naked?
And, Jen Hill came with me, so I was not nude. I was not nude at any time. But at one point, one of the shows, Spaz just walked in at 6 a.m. completely naked. And
completely
then
nude.
Then the late, great Lyndon Byers got nude right away as well. It was very disturbing. But oftentimes at those places, no offense,
mm-hmm.
but you don't really see the people nude that you want to see. If you know what I'm saying.
No, we get what you're saying.
And I'm sure they felt the same way about me if I were to get nude.
It's liberating being nude on the beach.
I've only been to one nude beach, and it was on Martha's Vineyard. I don't know if it's still nude.
I have no idea.
That's the one that Alan Dershowitz goes to, allegedly. No.
What a way to keep people away from it.
Yeah, I have no idea. But in Jamaica, it's different. I've been on a nude beach. It's liberating. The water, the sun, the breeze, everything.
We could do a show. You want to do a road show at a naked resort?
I'm down for it.
Would you be down for it?
Yeah, I'm down for it. I get nude real quick.
This is the instrument of your liberation.
Than skinny dipping.
Yeah.
There is no better feeling.
Really?
There's nothing better than it. Especially in the warm water.
Yeah,
like,
in the ocean,
yes.
Too, is really nice.
No offense to Greg, but it's not called that when he does it.
Curtis?
It's true. Why is it called skinny dipping when fat people do it?
I don't know. That's a great
seems
question.
Like a,
it really is a great
question. You know, it
question.
Seems like that's a body shaming or something for the fats.
Today's show's giving Friday energy. I'm really
it is.
Liking it.
You're
yeah.
Friday energy? Yep. All right. Well, we have a lot. We have a lot to get to on the show this morning. Are we going to talk about unknown caller at some point?
Unknown number.
Unknown number at some
I
point?
I think we should. I saw on the Twitch earlier, a lot of people did watch.
They did?
Yes.
All right. I have to talk about it.
It's insane.
It's the craziest. Is it a true crime documentary? I guess it kind of is.
Yeah.
Isn't it a true story?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was so good.
It's the craziest. The situation turns into the craziest documentary on true crime I think I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen a billion of them.
And usually you can pick up on maybe where something's going, like who the perpetrator is in this situation. This?
No.
You didn't see coming.
No, you did not. That's the brilliance.
See, I couldn't believe it. I was convinced that another shoe was going to drop, and it never did.
No. Yeah. It's wild. All right, well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, it's my lead today, so.
We'll it is? Huh? Oh, okay. All right, we will get... Actually, you want to get right to some leads right this moment?
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for... The Lead.
Shime, interesting choice from you this morning when it comes to The Lead. That's the Birds. And Turn, I think, is the name of that. Am I right?
That is correct, Greg. Yeah, in parentheses, to everything there is a season.
I believe that that was written by the great Bob Dylan. I believe.
Oh, interesting.
But what made you pick that this morning?
Well, so we were talking about Courtney's colors and being a cool autumn, and we're starting a new season here, and football season starts with just one sleep away.
Yes.
So I was looking for a season-related song, and that is what I came across today.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, leads this morning are brought to you by Subaru. Wherever life takes you, trust Subaru to get you there safely. Don't miss the Subaru of New England all-wheel drive away event. It's going on right now. Just go to SubaruofNewEngland.com. Good morning, Shime.
Good morning, Greg. So we are officially one sleep away from NFL action. Tomorrow night, we get the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football to open the 2025 NFL season. And then as a friendly reminder, Greg, this is specifically directed towards you and your ilk. Friday night's game is specifically on YouTube.
Yep.
So make sure you're ready for that.
Yep.
Chargers-Chiefs Friday night.
Yep. I gotta put the phone up to the screen and get the code thing. What do they call that? The
QR code.
The QR code. Then they're gonna say, "Wait a minute, somebody else is using your platform now." And then I gotta call Brees or Julia. I gotta say, "Can you give me the go ahead on this platform and that Like, can we just have every single football game on one network? Used to be so easy. So easy, but go ahead.
So I just wanted to express my excitement for the football season and that my official, I'm locking it in. I've locked it in. Mego and I did an NFL preview Monday morning, locking in my official predictions for the NFL season. I wanted to get them on record beforehand, right? MVP of the season, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is my MVP, my Super Bowl winner. As much as I think the head coach might be a dink or very dink forward, I'm going with the Buffalo Bills this year. I think they finally get it done.
What?
I'm taking the Billiams. Yep.
What about your Ravens?
I know. Shocker of the century. Give me the Bills over the Eagles in the Super Bowl. The Eagles get back but lose in the Super Bowl to the Bills. And I think the most surprising record of the year this year will be the San Francisco 49ers. I think they finished as the 2 seed in the NFC. Talk about easy schedules for the New England Patriots. The San Francisco 49ers might have the easiest schedule in all of football. So those are my three outright predictions that I will make right here today for my lead.
What about Brock Purdy MVP? If that team is going to be that good.
I think it's in play. I feel like he is always going to be slighted because his head coach is Kyle Shanahan and his running back is Christian McCaffrey. He'll never get the actual credit, even if he is good.
Mm. I'm not really sure about San Fran, though, because you can't trust on McCaffrey. You can't trust him because he's always getting hurt. The wide receiver group is obviously... got some question marks because of injuries. So I think offensively, when you start to look at what – I think Purdy's going to have to, you know, take himself to that next level where they paid him all that money, where I think people start talking about him as a top 12, top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And let's see if this is the year that he can do that, because they have a lot of question marks.
And I feel like how can he be the most valuable player when you could literally take 15 quarterbacks, put him in that exact situation, and they would do as well or better?
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with that perspective, Curtis, just because Kyle Shanahan is such a mastermind. He tells you just point and shoot, or if Christian McCaffrey's healthy, he's arguably the best weapon in football. football. So I just I don't think Purdy will ever get any sort of credit for being good enough, and will never win an MVP.
Baker Mayfield in the mix for you at all? I mean,
to win MVP
quietly,
maybe.
He had an S ton of yards last year. He may have more this
Tampa
year.
Has again a very easy schedule. I think eighth easiest schedule in the NFL this year. They are going to dominate their division if they can somehow like rack up a ton of wins and get the number one seed. I guess it would be in play, but I would say it's
he was in the conversation. I'm not his name was thrown in the conversation last year because of I think he threw what 40 touchdowns.
Yeah,
he had a really good season. That team did well. So I mean, if Shime's right, if they can win that division, and he has another year where he's throwing 35, 40 touchdowns, why not?
Are we going to get to one of the all-time greats, at least according to most of us in the room, not you, Shime, but his picks when it comes to the best quarterbacks in the league currently?
We could definitely do that.
They said it.
I think we should absolutely talk about that.
Shocking.
100%.
All right. So we have some of the Swami's picks, the as we call them around here, the not-so-sharp.
I would say more round than sharp. I think that's fair.
What you should do when you hear those picks is pick in the opposite direction. That's what many around here say behind your back. That's fine.
I picked the Super Bowl winner last year, so going for
only
two
down,
in a row.
I think in your sports wagering career, you're only down 15 or 20 grand right now, so you're making your way back.
Yeah, oh yeah. One day at a time, Greg. Just battling my way back.
And I think on Friday, we were having some fun with Shime. And his lack of success when it comes to sports wagering. And I think we decided that we're going to bring influencers in to pick against Shime at times during the NFL season. I think we'll start that on Friday.
Yes. Oh, I'm ready. I can't wait.
Do we have one lined up for Friday?
I have one that I talked to when we first started talking about this. So we were just speculating on air. Who could possibly come in here who you would not expect to beat Shime and embarrass the bag out of him? And I think we decided on
all of them.
Influencers. So, yeah. All right. So we'll do that on Friday.
Yeah. I'll run the show. It's fun.
Influencer Pick'em. Do we have a name? Do we have a creative name for it? Or?
I don't know. You guys were throwing around names in our group chat yesterday. I didn't like Curtis's Cool versus the Tool.
Oh, you didn't like
outside
that?
Of that, any of the other ones were fine.
Did you like over... over under the influence
like that.
How did you feel about Beat the Geek?
I like that one.
What about the 3-point spread?
I don't know.
It's a little too.
I don't like that. All right. Well, we'll try to do that on Friday.
I did. Ken's credit, I did like PikTok.
Yes. Yeah. PikTok is a pretty good name for it.
I hate to give Ken credit, but
yeah. All right. Thank you for your lead, Shime.
You're welcome, Greg.
We will continue with more of this morning's leads in just a few moments. Coming up at 7:20, they said it, and that is a quick back and forth on what they said in sports yesterday. We have leads that remain this morning, including one right now from Curtis. Curtis, good morning.
Greg, I woke up today and I said, I'm going to play this sound from last year of Mike Lombardi and Bill Belichick mocking Gerard Mayo's start to his career. And I said no. And I thought that was real personal growth. So I have decided that I'm going to discuss the documentary Unknown Number on Netflix. As shocking of a movie documentary that I have, as shocking as anything I've ever seen on TV.
Will there be spoilers in here?
No.
For those who are listening? Okay.
No, I may offend parents and I may be hypocritical when I get to that age, but watching that and seeing the way we rationalize giving kids phones and then saying they need them in school shows how bad we've become as parents. Like the guy that's the principal or whatever, the big fat guy, I mean, bigger guy, with the tie.
What a dope that guy was, by the way.
And he's like, I don't want to take away their phone. I use my phone like it's my office. Yeah, you're an adult numbskull. Like, what in the world?
This documentary, which is on Netflix, is about these students in high school in a very, very small town who start to get very disturbing text messages.
Are dating. The two of them are dating.
Yeah, but they start to get disturbing text messages, and the police are called, and the parents and everybody is trying to figure out where the unknown, very disturbing texts are coming from.
It was so funny, too. The principal, Curtis, is right. He's like, yeah, let me look at the cameras and see if I can tell who's texting when they're getting these bad text messages. And it's just everybody in the room is on their phone. Right. Like, what are you doing?
Right. I'm going to see who's wearing sneakers. So sorry about that. Yes. So the documentary is the one movie. It's about 90 minutes, and it's about what Greg just described and how these two kids that are dating get texts that know way too much, including at one point something under a Christmas tree at a Christmas party where it was only the closest friends and family in attendance, and how it has literally shaken them to their core, and then their pursuit of the perpetrator leads everybody to turn on one another. And it is unbelievable, and I strongly recommend you watch it.
I feel bad for those that were wrongly accused. Like, there was one girl in the school who had, I guess, at some point had been a little bit bully forward or whatever, and so they immediately assumed it was her and dragged her into the police station. And there's, Curtis alludes to this cousin who, like, may have been around on Christmas time, and so they're all over the. It's just, and then.
But how can I understand this? But I'm just trying to ask you a simple question, Greg, and everybody. How can you defend giving these kids this phone, and the fact that they wouldn't even let them get a new phone? They said, no, I don't want the person to know that he doesn't have this number. Then we're going to lose. Like, the parent's job is to do what is in the best interest of their child. No matter how angry the child may be in the moment, it is your job as a parent to protect them from themselves.
But I agree with them saying, I'm not going to get them another phone. Like, that was the school's. So at one point, the school says, like, okay, I think you just got to change their numbers, get them a new phone. And the parents say, no, we're not doing that, because then whoever this is could just get their new number. We're not solving the issue.
But that's the point. You get them the new phone and you only give them emergency contacts. Mm-hmm. Be like, hey, you cannot give your number out to anybody. You keep the old phone and see if the text messages continue to come in.
Right. But if you watch the show, you'll understand why there was no new phone.
Curtis, how long will you wait until you acquiesce and give James a phone? Because the pressure is going to be intense.
Right. And it's I don't know. Honestly, I my guess is by the time he's ready for a phone, he can just have a watch that I can call, like an Apple phone, like an Apple Watch, that he doesn't use to text and do a million different
probably
things.
Probably like 12, I would imagine.
But that's the thing. It's easier said than done. Like, every other kid is going to have a phone, and there are benefits to having one.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to being able to, he's going to have to use, I'm assuming, unfortunately, ChatGPT for everything that he does in life, and you're going to deny him that opportunity. It's a difficult thing for
parents. But I just go back to it wasn't my original thought. Somebody shared this, that we are more protective of children than we have ever been. Playdates are the norm. Gone are the days where you meet your friends down the street and you hang out until it's dinner time and come home. We have to observe everything you do when you're outside of our home, but when you shut the door to your bedroom, you have access to the world, and predators, more importantly, have access to you, and we allow it. It doesn't make sense. It's incongruent. And seeing specifically the need to have your phone in school, this makes that absolutely idiotic. You don't need your phone in school.
No, not in school. Not in school, but I think they're like kids, you know, they're friends and they communicate. They'll be the one kid without a phone. You know, I get it, kids will make fun of you, but you'll feel like you're out of the loop because kids are not going to want to hang out with you, you know, and you're going
to. And it's hard to look back to when you got a phone. I'm talking about myself. Like, I got a phone at 14 and I felt like all my friends were getting them at the same time. They were flip phones. What the phone is now is so different than what the phone was when I was young. So you can't even compare to what the appropriate age was when I was growing up to what it is now, because you can do so much more on a phone.
Well, you got to put the restrictions on it. So if you give a kid a phone at 12 years old, right, I think that's a reasonable age, you know, right before they become a teenager. You got to put all the restrictions on it and get all the alerts, like, you know, to find my phone. You know, there's always a way to link your phone and their phone. So any text messages that comes in, you could see those. Yeah. So there's like all these things that you can do.
Well, the documentary is called Unknown Number, and it is on Netflix, and it is a must watch. I have two further thoughts on it until the time that we can talk fully about without any spoilers, because everybody will have seen it. One is the, in my opinion, the sentence that was handed out here, 19 months, was far too light.
Yes.
Far too light.
Right? Yep. Everybody agrees?
100%.
For the language that was used in those text messages, too short.
That person, there should be several things. The person who did this, despicable, disgusting crime, there should have been several restrictions that were placed based on what that person could do in addition to significant jail time. And the other thought is the use of body cams by law enforcement has made true crime documentaries must watch.
You can say, like, it, Greg. This is it. You're allowed. Chef's kiss.
I mean, the fact that they have all of that when they go to make the arrest and how uncomfortable it is without that, the documentary still would have been good, but it's extraordinary.
Without giving anything away, these text messages aren't just bullying. They're telling someone to kill themselves over and it's Michelle Carter.
They're awful.
Telling them to kill themselves. Yeah. The sexual nature of these texts are insane.
The whole thing is wild.
Yeah.
So, all right, Curtis, excellent lead. Thank you.
Thank you.
More leads to come next on The Greg Hill Show at WEEI.